Hi everyone, my name is Pablo Acosta and I'm your co-host of Benching and Kitchen. Thank you so much for tuning in to season three. Today we have an amazing, I call everybody amazing, interview with an awesome believer. So tune in and don't forget to share this podcast with friends and family through social media, Instagram, Facebook, or just share them through a text message. You can find us on Benching and Kitchen and almost every podcast player. Thank you so much for listening in and I hope you enjoy this interview. Grace, thank you so much for taking this invitation. I appreciate that you prayed over it, you listened to a couple episodes, and then God said, hey, yeah, do this. I thank you so much for this time, Grace. So I know, you know, you could be doing other things, and you decided to spend your time with me in the audience. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking me. It's a great honor and privilege.
Now, we know each other from working together, not for too long, for some period of time, and I'm hoping that God redeems that time again. We can get to work together again. But we know each other through North Coast Church, the Carlsbad campus. And I really like your attitude. I got to see a few interactions of you and other people, and then you and I. And I just thought, hey, this is a great person to ask. I prayed over it. And again, like I said, what we're trying to do is to show others, this is simple, just walk with him. That's all he wants. He doesn't want, you know, sacrifices of sheep and goats anymore. He just wants you to say, hey, I love you, Jesus. I walk with you. And I'm going to make mistakes through it, but you'll pick me up. And so I'm excited to do this interview with you. I know you have a lot of wisdom and someone out there needs to hear it. So yeah, let's do this.
I don't know about wisdom, but we'll see. Wait to answer that till after the interview.
we'll do an edit on that one. No, I'm just playing. No, we won't. We're gonna push through. So, just like every other episode, I try changing this verse, but it just, I don't know. There's so much to do with the theme of the podcast and what we're talking about of walking with Jesus. So I'm gonna read it to you, and then you just tell me what your understanding of it is, what you get from it, or yeah, anything you get from this verse. And that's Philippians 2:12. It reads, therefore my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How does that speak to you?
Well, I after reading that verse, I kind of tried to pick it apart. So the part that talks about not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, that just reminds me of the word integrity. And C.S. Lewis has this quote, and it says, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And so, you know, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, but he says, as you have always obeyed. And so the Philippians had integrity. So they were obeying even when Paul wasn't there, they were still obeying. So that just speaks of the integrity that the Philippians had. And that's something that I want to have, is integrity and doing the right thing even when no one is watching me, because God's always watching me. He's always with me. And so that was the first thing that I thought of. Another thing is the continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I just kind of focused on that word continue. And so it's not like, oh, I prayed that prayer, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, and then that's it. And then, like, I know that I will live with God for eternity, which is true. But it's not like it was just a prayer that I prayed way back then in 1979, and then that's it. It's something that I continue to, it's like a daily surrender, you know, of giving my life, you know, having God be in charge of my life instead of me being in charge of my life, which is, you know, of course, my tendency. And then the fear and trembling part, I remember one time Chris Brown gave a sermon, and he talked about the fear of God, and he talked about like dynamite or explosives, and how we kind of have a healthy fear of dynamite or explosives, and kind of equating that in our relationship with God, not I guess focusing on how powerful God is. And I think sometimes we can get so almost too relaxed, like buddy with, you know, me and Jesus, we're buddies, but it's, I'm not saying that we shouldn't feel close to God, but I am, what am I trying to say here? Like, he is God and I am not. And so just having that proper view of God and how powerful and how awesome he is, that's what it makes me think of, the working out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Wow, and you say you didn't have any wisdom, huh? Look at that. That's pretty cool. You know, on a...
Wait, what'd you say?
I said, and you didn't...
I couldn't hear that.
No, I'm sorry. I was telling you, and you said you didn't have any wisdom, and you do. Look at that. That's pretty deep. I like that. You know, on a... I interviewed Pastor Chris Brown, and
yes,
I actually interviewed him
twice. I haven't listened to that one yet.
It's really funny because I actually interviewed him twice, and the first one, somehow I managed to destroy the recording. It was between the equipment and something. So, you know, he was graceful enough to let me do another one. But in that, in the first one, I was telling him that he had done that sermon and he couldn't remember. And I said, yeah, you did a sermon in regards to fear and trembling. And that's what caused me to make the choice. And I was called to be baptized. And he briefly touched on that verse. And I was just telling that whole 360 degrees, right? Who would have known that later on I'll be talking about this verse and telling, you know, the person who was teaching on that. But that was a sermon that he was talking about, and he couldn't remember. So now I'm going to remind him, hey, there's two now. Two of us remember. Now you got to remember. He'll get a kick out of it. So I know you a little bit. We don't know each other a lot because, you know, once I started working at Carset, it just, you know, this whole pandemic started not too soon after. But let's get to know you a little bit so the audience gets a little comfortable with you and your story, and they relate to you. So tell us, you know, something about you, your full name, what do you work, married, kids, and, you know, if you attend, I mean, I know you attend North Coast Church, but sometimes we watch other sermons, other places. So if you attend any other churches besides North Coast Church.
Okay. So my name is Grace Chapman, and I work at North Coast Church. I don't attend any other churches. I just watch our North Coast online sermon right now, and of course in person once we are able to do that in person. So my job at North Coast is it's all administrative. I do administration for the junior high and high school departments, and then just kind of regular church administration, which includes like baptisms, baby dedications, visitors, classes, helping out with connections events. And then this is how I met you or got to know you better, was I administrate the four community service drives we have per year. So we have the baby bottle drive, the backpack drive, the canned food drive, and the Christmas outreach. And so I think you and I met more with the backpack drive. And then we also have monthly Red Cross blood drives. So that's kind of my job. I've been married to my husband, Ralph, for 30 years. We just had our 30th wedding anniversary. And we have two daughters. Rachel is 24 and Joy is 22. And let's see, what else? Did that answer your question?
It definitely did. I think that because we know each other, you know, we had some of these questions already answered. But yeah, it was what church do you attend to, which is North Coast. Where do you work, which is North Coast. And then I'm glad you brought that up about how do we met each other, you know, because that's how God works, right? I would always tell people, it's like, hey, I always want to be an integral part of things. It is a drive that I have, you know, that, you know, not for recognition, but I just want to, if I can do it, I want to do it. You know, if I'm able to support it, I want to support it. I don't mind being in the background or being the one that sweeps. I don't mind. You know, I told God that. Yeah. I said, hey, if you start me a ministry and I'm the one who shuts the door and I have to sweep and clean the windows, eh, no problem. I'll do it. I just want to be a part of something being greater, because I love, you know, what God's done in my life. And I'm like, if I can do that, I'll do it. But anyways, you know, it's just, I just love that connection that we had where we didn't care about anything but helping others, you know, and because someone else was helping us to do that. So it was just amazing to, you know, those backpacks that you guys gave us, we trickled them down to families that needed them, they couldn't afford another backpack. And that's the love of God, right? And we were just, you know, we're nothing special. We were just people willing to do something about it and obey the word of God. So, yeah.
Yes.
I miss those moments, yes, you know.
Oh, yeah. And you helped us get some turkey dinners to some Carlsbad families at Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, that was another amazing thing. And that sparked up. That was really funny because I overspeak, you know, and that was one of those moments, you know, the food bank said, hey, we have turkeys. And last year I missed out. And I said, as soon as I get that email, I'm going to sign myself, you know, even if I have to pay on my own, I'll figure it out. So I put an amount, but then somehow I pressed another number, another zero. And I was like, shoot, how do we do this one? And just, you know, a bunch of people just, you know, that was one of those trust things where I said, all right, Lord, I don't know, you help me pay for this. I can't all of them, but I can some, and I know you can help me out, find the right person. So I started asking, and all of a sudden we get an email saying, hey, all the turkeys are free. And I was like, wow. What? And so I had already collected some money. So I was praying. I was like, okay, cool. So do I give it back? What do? Do I buy something? Mm. So, you know, God says, like, make me boxes. So that's how we ended up with a bunch of boxes. You came in and saw the whole thing in action. And
yeah.
That was all out of putting my foot in my mouth over speaking, but it was, you know, that was pretty amazing, you know. And I remember telling my wife, I'm like, so first I was crying about I don't have enough money to pay them. Now I'm crying about I don't have enough people to give it to them. Like, I need to stop that.
That's amazing,
you know. So
that's a total God story.
It is. It's one of those moments where I'm like, hi Lord, you're here, you're alive, you protect us. And yeah. On that note, share with us, when did your relationship with Jesus begin? When would you say that the moment that it happened?
So I can hear my echo again. I was raised Catholic, so went to Mass every Sunday from birth on. And then when I was going into high school, freshman year in high school, I had friends who went to a youth group and they invited me to go. And so I went, and it was a totally different experience for me than the Catholic Mass that I had been attending. When I went to Catholic Mass, I would see friends that I knew from school, and they would act one way during Mass and then act a different way during the week when I was with them at school. And so I saw like a disconnect. And when I started going to youth group with my other friends, I could see that the students there, they were the same. You know, they were the same on youth group night that they were at school. And so I just felt like there was more consistency in their lives. And so that was something that I wanted for myself. And so so fall of my freshman year in high school, that's when I came to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Whereas before, I just knew about God and about Jesus. But it wasn't until fall of my freshman year where I had a personal relationship with him.
Thank you for sharing. That's cool. And that goes right back to that verse, right? Not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. It's really easy for us to act one way when we're around Christians, and then when we're not around Christians, we're like, oh yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these other words and mannerisms and actions and, you know, so that's one of the things that I'm working on. It's always try to be the same all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing. On the next part of the podcast, I want to talk about, you know, I'm going to give the three words that we've been talking about. So one is routines, others are disciplines, and others are schedules. And all it is talking about how do you integrate your entire day with Jesus? What do? So, if you don't mind sharing, you know, let's talk about your disciplines, routines, schedules, however you want to, you know, call them. But what is the first thing you do when you wake up?
So I like to start my day with prayer, and while I'm still in bed, like before my feet hit the floor, and just praying about like the things that are going to be happening that day, the people I'm going to be interacting with, which includes my family, but also other people, and just asking for God to use me and, you know, have the words to say to people, to encourage them. And I also like to listen to the Daily Dose while I'm making my breakfast. And so that's kind of my morning routine. And then when it comes to prayer, I wanted to mention a book that I read a long time ago, actually, called Lord, Teach Me to Pray in 28 Days by Kay Arthur. And I know that sounds like a really weird title, but it's based on the Lord's Prayer, like from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and using the Lord's Prayer as like a guideline for my prayers. And I don't always pray that way, but that's just really helped me in my prayer life. So love that book. And then as far as scripture reading, I'm always in two life groups. So I have my nighttime life group that I go to with my husband. My husband leads our nighttime life group, and it's mostly couples. It's actually all couples right now. And then I co-lead a Real Women life group with my friend Darlene through Carlsbad campus of North Coast Church. And so because I'm in two life groups, I have two sets of homework. And so our nighttime life group, we discuss the sermon, and so there's homework that's related to that. And then my Real Women life group, we have homework for that as well. And the Real Women life group homework is a lot longer than my nighttime life group. So if I had two really super long sets of homework, that would be hard. But since one's shorter than the other, that helps me. But that's, I always want to be in two life groups because that's really what keeps me studying God's word. I really need that weekly accountability of like, oh, got to get all my homework done because I'm going to be meeting with my life group. And so I really love the accountability of that. Let's see. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, of course. You answered two questions in one, which is pretty cool. We talked about scripture reading. What about prayer? What are your thoughts on prayer? Like, one of my main things that also I'm working on surrendering to the Lord is if I say I'm going to pray for someone, I'm going to pray, whether they're present or not. But I usually say, you know, I'll pray for you, and then I'll walk away and I forget, you know. So what are your thoughts on that? And also calling on people to welfare calls, especially right now.
So I would say that I used to talk on the phone all the time. As my life has gotten busier and work has gotten busier, I don't call people as much, but I do text. And so I'm in a bunch of group texts. So like we have a group text for my Real Women group and a group text for my nighttime life group and group texts with friends from college and group texts from work. And so a bunch of different groups where people will ask for prayer. And so then I try and stop right then and there and pray for, you know, whatever that text is. And then sometimes over the phone, just in my job, like working with parents of the high schoolers and junior highers that I work with, sometimes I'll be talking on the phone with them and I'll, you know, notice that they're struggling. And so then rather than just saying, oh, I'll pray for you, sometimes I'll just ask, you know, can I pray with you right now over the phone? Which some people think that's really weird, but I really like doing that. And I think it can be super powerful. So sometimes I'll pray with parents over the phone right then and there. Or like the community service drives that I've talked to you about. Sometimes I'll interact with families who are just really struggling. I can think of one who I called. Actually, we ended up giving this particular family one of your turkey dinners. And so when I was calling her about that, I could tell she was really struggling. And so prayed with her over the phone. So that's what I like to do. So texting and calling.
You know, I love that. I do the same. You know, most of my conversations now with brothers are, you know, because they're on different stages of life and faith, you know, growing. And sometimes you just can't get them on a phone, and we can never match that point, but we can always get on a quick text message, and sometimes that's good enough. You know, it's you know, my biggest fear is that when I get to heaven, God's gonna say, I made the phones, you know, I made text messaging, why didn't you use it? You know,
yeah,
you know, I made emails, fax, all this technology, and you chose not to pray for this person. Like, you know, whether it was in person or not. He's like, but you could have done it, you know, so why didn't you? So that's a really good point. I appreciate that. If a new person to the gospel was in front of you, or I brought you a brand new person, right? Let's say that way instead. Yeah, they've never heard the gospel. And I said, Grace, tell them what drives you. What's your passion for scripture? How would you tell that person? How would you tell? Yeah, how would you? Yeah, yeah, exactly. How would you tell them about it?
Well, I think of the verse Hebrews 4:12, which is, and I wrote it down, the one that talks about the word of God being alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And so that verse is so true. When I had my daughter, she's my older daughter is now 24. So that's when I stopped working full time. And so when she was born, I was at home for a while, not working. And so that's when I was able to start going to women's Bible studies. So I've been in women's Bible study nonstop for 24 years, for whole life. And so in that time, and it was at two different churches, because we moved here about 10 years ago. And through that time, we would end up doing the same study over again. So like we've done a lot of Beth Moore studies. And so I would do it first in my old church, you know, back when my kids were little. But then in the last 10 years, we did it again over here at North Coast. And so what's so cool about God's word is that every time I do, even if it's the same exact Bible study by the same author, Beth Moore, I get something completely different out of it, doing it like a decade later than I would at the time when my kids were little. And that's the way God's word is. Like every time, it's living and active. So every time I read it, I can get something new, something, you know, fresh and new out of it. So that's why I love studying God's word.
Cool. I like that, because that's why I love this verse, and I haven't changed it. Every time I ask somebody, it depends on the time of day, I get something different. That person explains something different because of the season they're in. You know, it just talks to them differently. Yeah. And I've never read any other book. You can watch a movie, one of the most recent movies. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, you're always going to get the same message.
Yeah.
It either was really good or it sucked. But anyways, that's another story.
Yeah.
But you know, but the word of God is differently. You know, if you're depressed, you find a verse that lifts you up, and then you read it again when you're joyful, and you get more joy out of it, or you get something different, or you get a different lesson. So, man, that's a good way to put it. I appreciate that. Is there a favorite verse that you have? What's your understanding of it, and why is that a favorite verse?
I wrote that down as well. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So this verse was kind of my lifeline. I went through a really dark time, and I won't go into the details of it, but it was a while ago. And anytime I felt like the enemy was kind of where my thought life was kind of going into a negative spiral, so to speak, I would just say that verse. And so I found myself during that difficult time saying that verse over and over again. And it was just really my lifeline. And that would help me put things back into perspective and focus on what I do have and to be thankful and grateful. And it just really helped me through that really dark time. And so because of that, that verse is just has always been very special to me.
Wow. Thank you for being transparent. I got a knot in my throat because you remind me of my verse. You know, oh man, and that's how God works. That's what I tell people. It's like, man, when you read scripture, it'll lift you up in that moment. He'll meet you right where you at, whether you're in happiness or joy, or whatever emotion you're in, he'll meet you right there and he'll feed you in that moment. So, wow, man, I can tell you, I got a little knot because I was thinking of my moment. Thank you for sharing. What else are you, besides, I know you do a lot of homework and you have all these ministries that you attend to and you help with, But is there any other books, devotionals, movies, or music that you utilize to feed your soul?
Yes. So I'm excited because we just started Real Women this morning, and we're going to be doing a new book called, new to me anyway, Jeremiah, Daring to Hope in an Unstable World by Melissa Spolstra. And she's a new author to me. I mean, we have often in the past done Beth Moore and Kay Arthur and Jenny Allen. And I love all of those women and get so much from their Bible studies. But Melissa Spolstra is completely new to me, never done any books by her. And so I'm excited to read the book of Jeremiah. So that's one thing that I'm just about to start. And you mentioned music, and I love to sing. And so whenever I'm driving in my car, I often love to listen to worship music, and I'm just driving around singing at the top of my lungs. And I really can feel, one of the times when I feel really close to God is when I'm singing, praise music. So that just is a wonderful way for me to connect with God. Also, I am blessed to be able to live in Carlsbad. And so when I'm just driving around, just my normal day, I get to catch glimpses of the ocean. And it's just incredible. And we've just had some gorgeous sunsets lately. But any time of day, every time I catch a glimpse of the ocean, it's just like I take a deep breath because God is just so amazing. And he has created this beautiful world that we get to live in. So, and then just, you know, praying. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to say about that.
No worries. That's perfect. You know, I had interviewed someone, I think it's season 2, right in the middle. I got to find the right person so I give him credit for this. But he said, he mentioned how every tribe, every community in the world has music.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's just awesome to me. He's like, because God wants us to worship with music and songs. And he's like, in every place, in the remote areas, you'll find instruments of music. He's like, it's just,
yeah,
that's God. He's like, he inscribed these laws, you know, and that's probably one of them. You know, it's like, hey, you must use music to worship me. And I find it amazing. So I do the same thing. I like when my daughter Cece starts singing the songs, and I'm like, oh, cool, she knows the song, you know, I'm doing well, you know, because it's easy to put on a secular song and forget about it. But then you realize, hey, this song really isn't positive, you know, and, you know, just, that's the way I teach kids about God is with music, you know? So I like that. What does the end of your day look like? Once you are done with everything, everything's ready to go, what is the last thing you do before you go to sleep?
Well, like I said, I like to start out my day in prayer. I like to end my day in prayer as well. And, you know, kind of the same things, praying about, you know, what happened that day, but maybe even more so trying to focus on thankfulness and gratefulness for, you know, everything that happened that day, everything that God did that day. And then sometimes I end up waking up during the night. Like, it doesn't happen every night, but sometimes I'll just wake up randomly in the middle of the night. And whenever that happens, I just ask God, like, okay, God, who is it that you want me to pray for? And he never fails to put somebody on my heart to pray for when I wake up in the middle of the night. And so I enjoy that, doing that as well.
We have that in common. I get woken up around 2-3 a.m. in the morning sometimes. And I never ask, who do you want me to pray for? I'm just like, all right, Lord, I'm going to pray. I don't mind who it is. I'm just going to pray. But I'm going to start asking them because that's an important question. You know, I was like, who is it? Because there may be more to the story. But I sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, not today. I'm really tired. But he's like, nope, 2 a.m. in the morning, get up. And I'm up until like 3:30 sometimes because I'm fighting. You know, I'm like, I don't want to pray, Lord. I don't know what to say. And he's like, all right, then you'll stay awake until you do so. Once I do so, I'm like, okay, now I can go to sleep, right? And he's like, yep, now you go to sleep. So we have that in common. you know, it drags our day a little bit, but hey, it is what it is. We're serving the Lord, right?
Yes.
It's a good purpose.
Exactly.
What is one area of your life that you're looking to surrender or you're currently surrendering, and why?
I would say that what I constantly need to work on is surrendering my tongue. Like I have control issues. I like to be in control. And I feel like when it comes to my family members, I like to have a wonderful plan for their life, you know? And so like maybe one of my daughters or my dad or even my husband, you know, I might have certain ideas about the things that they should do or not do, but it's really not my place to, like, that's the Holy Spirit's job, for the Holy Spirit to guide them. And so one thing though that I can do is pray. So I can have I can surrender my tongue, keep my mouth shut, and I can pray. So, and ask for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. So that's what I would say I'm working on. I was looking at your Instagram and noticed the verse Exodus 14:14. And when I say your Instagram, I mean Benson in the Kitchen Instagram.
Yeah.
And noticed Exodus 14:14, which is the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And I love that. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Like, if I have certain ideas about what my family members should or should not do, it's like, I need to rest in that the Lord will fight. And I just need to be still and keep my mouth shut and surrender my tongue.
Oh, man. We're going to become best friends because we're ailing from the same issues. You know, even just today, you know, I was, you know, I have interactions with I don't want to mention the person, but I have interactions with a family member that we just keep butting heads. Everything just keeps, you know, it's like too magnets on the opposite sides, right? And I've been praying, like, oh, Pablo, don't say that. Like, I know what you're thinking, don't say it. So I was talking to a brother of mine and he said, hey man, just pray, don't argue, just pray. And I said, okay. Yeah, okay, you make it sound like he's like it's not easy, but just do it. But
no, it's not easy.
You know, but that's my problem, is like I say you should behave a certain way, you should do things a certain way, but who am I, you know? So as I was reading this morning, Genesis, I was reading, you know, I'm actually writing Genesis, I'm writing my whole Bible, but in sections, and I got reminded again of that beautiful verse that speaks, hey, where were you when I was creating the heavens and the earth? Like, who are you to tell me who should I, you know, give justice to, who should I change? You know, you just pray for them, that's it, you know. Not in a sentence, but in that essence. And man, I just felt horrible because I was trying to get away from the issue, I was trying to avoid saying something stupid, but it just, you know, sometimes we just so hard-headed that we keep going at it. And I was like, so now I'm praying for that resolution, right? I was telling my wife, I was like, look, I tried, I failed, I don't know what I did wrong, but there needs to be a change in both sides, you know. I'm not gonna say it was just that person, it was also me. But you're right, controlling the tongue is it's rough, it's hard, because we know best, right? Like, you know, we got this. And then God reminds us, you don't have anything. You know, thank you for being transparent. I mean, I love this conversation because it's so timely. Like I said, this just happened maybe a couple hours ago, and I was like, oh man,
wow.
You know, why, Lord? But then I surrender it to him, you know. I surrender my emotions to him and my wanting to get back my revenge, you know, to him. I said, hey, I don't need a revenge, any of that. And so, and I'm practicing that with my kids too. Sometimes they want to do whatever they want, and I'm like, how do I tell them no? All right, Lord, make it rain. This next question I really hold dearly. I've always talked about how blessed I was. I'm not lucky, I was just blessed. God gave me the opportunity to walk into it as soon as I came to Christ. But community, I know you work with a lot of communities. How do you explain that to someone? How do you tell them, hey, you need community, you know? Yeah, give us your thoughts on a community of believers.
Well, I'm a super social person, which is why this whole COVID thing has been really hard for me, because I just always love being with people. And so community has always been really important to me. I've always been in a bunch of Bible studies and groups, and, you know, have lots of friends and love to interact with them all the time. But the best way that I can describe the importance of community is actually when I look at my parents. My parents are both in their 90s. My mom's 98, my dad's 93, and they've been divorced now for like 40 years. But they're aging so differently from each other. So my mom is more like me. She's super social. She'll never meet a stranger. She's just always interacting with people. And her mind is as sharp as a tack, and she's so healthy. My dad, on the other hand, has always kind of been to himself, and, you know, just likes to be alone and just kind of stay in his room. And he is not aging as well. He is kind of off in his own little world, kind of in his own realm. And I think aging has just been a lot harder for him. And I think it all has to do with his lack of community. And on my mom's side, her being in touch with community. And I can just see it, like, even physically, in how they are aging. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's just, like, playing out in front of my eyes, just the difference between having community and not.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. You know, even God's not alone. A biblical figure in the Bible will always have someone to rely on or talk to. So I think that it is important for just not spiritual, but physical and emotional to be around somebody. One of the biggest causes of suicide is loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel lonely. Even though they have friends, it's not the same as community. Community is someone that's out there looking for you, holding you accountable. You know, watching how you walk, you know, I don't know. I love my band of brothers and sisters. They tell me, hey, it's like, no, Pablo, that's not going to work. Or you're messing up. Or why are you doing this? Why would you say that? You know, it's been a growth process to understand that. But if you don't have that, I mean, geez, you know, I'll hate to go up to heaven and not be known by Jesus because I didn't know what I was doing. So it to me, it makes complete sense.
Okay. Okay, good.
I know you're involved with, you know, ministry. So do you want to share anything with us? How people can connect with that, especially women, you know, especially right now, you know, if there may be a woman out there that's looking to be connected. So how will they connect to your ministry? Tell us.
So the easiest way would be to go to our website, which is realwomennc.com, and it's all lowercase. And that's where you could sign up for a group and get connected in our Real Women community, which is awesome. Another thing we have through North Coast is the Family Support Ministry. So if you go to northcoastchurch.com and click on our Family Support Ministry, that is a great way for people with distance learning right now during COVID to get connected with like a mentor who could help out a mom who or dad who is having to do distance learning with their kids, support for them and for their marriages and for their families. That's another great resource.
Awesome. I'm glad you brought something up like that. That's one of my biggest things is it's that support system and ministry. So I'm glad you put that out there. If you don't mind, send me an email with those links and I'll put them on the episode description. That way, if any listeners are interested, they can plug into it. Because I can tell you that I met a lot of parents who are like, I don't know what to do. And I didn't have resources to send them to. So now I will, and I'll send them out to you guys.
Okay, that'd be great.
Cool. So, I mean, we're pretty much to the end of the episode. We have two more things that I would love, you know, from you, which one of them is tell us what the Holy Spirit is telling you to leave us behind with. What is that something he wants to say?
Well, I guess I would like to say that God is on the throne because during our world going on right now with COVID and just all the polarization that's going on right now, God is still on the throne. And so I think it's important for all of us to remember that and to know that this whole pandemic didn't take God by surprise. He knows everything and he's in control. And get in the life group.
Yeah, definitely. Don't do life alone, right?
Yes.
Amen. And then I love what you said. God is on a throne. It's highly important right now because we're looking up to, I'm going to do the air quotes, leaders. I'm not going to mention what side, but we're putting all our faith on them. Our faith should be put on God, right? And the only way we can do that is reading scripture and being indwelling with Jesus. Thank you so much, Grace. You know, I appreciate the time you gave us. It's amazing. I told you, you have some amazing things to say. You just didn't believe it. And now you can hear it again when I post this episode. But it just, thank you so much for taking this time off your family, off of work. You know, please give our love to your family. Would you mind closing us in prayer, please?
Sure. Lord, I just thank you so much for Pablo and for this podcast and for everything that you are going to do through it. I'm not sure who all is going to be listening, but I just pray that all of the podcasts that Pablo has put together, all the people he has interviewed, would be an encouragement to people in their faith. And I just thank you for this beautiful world you've created and how we get to participate with you in bringing your kingdom here on earth. And I love you, and I just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you were filled just like I was. I've been recharged. You know, sometimes our day doesn't begin how we want it to, but it ends how he wants it to. So thank you so much for coming on the show with us. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you. It's been great.
Well, what an ending to an interview, right? Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Don't forget to share this on Instagram. Don't forget to share this on Facebook or any social platform. And you know what? We will love your comments and reviews. If there's anything you want us to change or add, or if you want to be interviewed, please let us know. Thank you so much. We're at any social media under Bench in the Kitchen. Thank you so much.